Okay, so location parameters, clearly it has to be within the district boundaries. I think it makes sense to have it near or easily accessible to freeway and public transportation. We need to be considerate of the commute times for staff. In general, our staff are to the southeast of us, so that's something we need to keep into consideration. And it would be nice if it was nearby some amenities. You know, if somebody needed to go out to Home Depot, like me on lunch, and pick up a part pretty close to Home Depot, restaurants, fast food, other restaurants, things for both employees and visitors and the board, if there's something you need in the day or evening when you're at the office. So I had Robert put this together. This is the district boundary map. Shows the 210 freeway here, 605 freeway, 10 freeway. I also had Robert pop in the Gold Line stations. I did not realize that the Sierra Madre Villa station on the Gold Line is in our service area. That's part of that old East Pasadena area that I believe it's been annexed to the city of Pasadena, but it's our service area. Down here, we've got some other
transportation. Pardon? It's just down the street.
It's right down the street. The Ralph, Tony and I want to buy the Ralph supermarket on Foothill Boulevard because we can both walk to
I represent that area on the Pasadena College Board.
Yeah. So as we're looking at this, you know, we're currently up here. Pretty easily accessible. It's a $3 lift ride to the train station here in Monrovia. So this general region along the 210, as I call it, along the 210 corridor, Arcadia, Monrovia, Duarte, seems to make sense. We can look down the 605. I've got some property examples in some of these areas, some listings I've been able to find. And another opportunity I'd like to talk about. But so I wanted, later on, you know, when I'm done with this presentation, I want to engage the board in a kind of a discussion, get the board's thoughts on the general location parameters. Budget considerations. So we received about $1.7 million net proceeds from the sale of the El Monte building. As mentioned before, the lease is $19,000 with a 3% escalator. If we owned our own building, estimated maintenance, landscaping, $30,000 a year, utilities, $12,000 a year. So if you take the lease, what we're paying for the lease with that 3% escalator, and you take that over a 20-year period and a 30-year period, and then subtract out the fact that we're going to have to pay for our own utilities and maintenance, came up with the present value in today's dollars, what the cost of that lease will be. And the 20-year is $4.3 million, and the 30-year is $6.8 million. So if we stay here, we just will put $6.8 million in the bank to pay those bills for the next 30 years. The other consideration, as we're looking at this, is the fact if we own a facility, there is equity. And I call it the appreciation of the owned asset value. It's like when you buy a home versus renting. Yeah, you might pay more. You're paying a lot on interest on your mortgage, but at the end of the day, theoretically, you will have equity in that asset. So that's the point made there. So if you look at this in total, if you use the 6.8, I'm not making any recommendations. This is just for discussion. You use the 6.8 and say, okay, we got another 1.7. You're looking at roughly $8 million that might be considered as far as a budget consideration. There could be other ways we look at this as well. But I kind of want to put that in context. Get back to Director Contreras' earlier question of Jack. So if we look at building per square foot, round numbers, ballpark, $400 a square foot for construction. Is that about right, Jack?
Yeah.
Land values in this area, $2.5 million an acre. So if you look at that as, okay, 2 acres times 2.5, that's $5 million, $400 a square foot, and I'm going to, so I can do the calculation easily, I'm going to say 10,000 square feet is $4 million. That's $9 million right there. So just to kind of put this in context, here's the parameters we're dealing with. Unfortunately, this is not as easy as designing a pipeline or something that Robert and I do as engineering. You just don't add up numbers and come up with an answer. There's a lot of things to take into consideration. Christy, will you go to those? Listings of That was it right there.
This one here?
No, the one that you were on, the blue, that one. And then go to the first tab.
Page 7, I think.
Okay. This is a listing. It's almost right across the street, just a half a block to the west. Can you scroll down on that? So this is what I call an office condo. Actually, they call it an office condo. Essentially, you're buying, you will own, fee title, that portion of the building, but you have common walls with other businesses. And that computer will have a hard time scrolling down. So this is 13,000 square feet, and if I recall the listing, it is 5.3 million. If you look at the floor plan, we probably couldn't remove enough columns efficiently to get a boardroom this size. We'd be shoehorning something, even though the square footage is certainly in the range. It might not be conducive. From a visibility standpoint, it's on Huntington Drive, but you're sharing common walls with other interests. Not saying we shouldn't look at it, but it gives you one example. Christy, go to the next next tab. Okay. Actually, I was going to plan to show this last. This property is adjacent to the El Monte office that we sold. There are three parcels, 0.77 acres, for $3.9 million. And so it gives you an idea. Now, this is being marketed as a developable site, even though there's a funeral home and other buildings on it. So I assume they're going to just plan on demolishing those buildings and for the development. But you can see this is less than an acre, and it's for almost $4 million. Next tab.
Where is that? Where was that located, that one you showed?
Across the street from St. Paul.
That is El Monte Boulevard and
Valley Boulevard.
Valley Boulevard and
Peck and Ramona.
Okay. Valley and Peck, okay.
Yeah, Ramona.
Ramona.
So, the next one, we can have fun with this one.
Yeah.
That is the Rancho Boulevard Golf Course Clubhouse. This is listed for sale. It's 33 acres for $6.5 million. I've met with the Duarte city manager and mentioned this property, and his comment was, number one, you don't want it, and you definitely don't want to pay $6.5 million. It is on a landfill. Mm-hmm. So apparently there's some methane gas emissions that would have to be dealt with, and there's a very wide Edison easement for a high-voltage transmission line cutting through the property. We wouldn't want a golf course, obviously. But if we were to consider something like this, we would have to see what is the opportunity to split off some of this property for other development so that we could recoup some of that cost.
I've played that several, more than I want to admit, but that utility pole, if you're right above it, and not only do you hear it like zzz, buzzing, mm-hmm. when you're putting, you could actually, if you have the steel rod, you could actually shock yourself on that. You could feel it. That's all much. Yeah.
Well, yeah. if you design your electrical system properly, you can just use the inductive current to power your building.
Yes.
Right out. Okay, switch over to the next one. This one, and I can't read the title. What is it? Oh, it's so this is property which is adjacent to Michael's Art Supply Store just down on Mountain Avenue. And it is... There's a vacant parcel. You might have a common wall with Michael's. It's 2.5 acres.
2.49.
At $6.8 million. This may have some potential. It's certainly, and then with the parking of the shopping center, you could share parking and wouldn't have to have as many parking spaces dedicated to the district. So this might be something we want to explore a little bit. The question is do we want to be in a strip mall or adjacent to a strip mall? I think it's something, we don't necessarily eliminate at this point in time. By the way, I'm not trying to get the board to say, yes, let's go investigate this particular property. These are really general parameters that I want to get the thought process going for discussion. Okay, the next one, Christy?
I think that's it.
Okay. Will you switch back over to the Google Maps? should be the Google Chrome right there. Okay. Okay, go back over to the other tab there. So, down Myrtle Avenue, right at the end of Arcadia, this isn't the city of Arcadia, is Peck Park, Peck Road Park. It's a county facility. There's a big wetlands facility behind there. The water's there all the time. I drove down there during lunch yesterday, and they've got some really nice drought-tolerant landscaping. It's kind of a wilderness environmental park. Christy, will you click on one of the first picture? So this is kind of the wilderness nature park. Scroll over, keep going. So these are the ponds, the wetlands treatment ponds behind there. And Steve, do you have any information on it, what the county's doing? It's some sort of wetlands capture, stormwater capture, wetlands treatment?
Yeah, they're doing pretty significant improvements on stormwater capture and improving because the water in there is not real good quality, but there are significant improvements planned for that facility.
And I love the fish in there because I love fish. So in this one, this is owned by the County of Los Angeles, Parks Department. Obviously, Flood Control District has something to do with it as well. But the park, the landscaping, the environmental aspects and the water aspects, that's what we are. And so it's really clearly tied, aligned with our mission, which is what I really like about it. I haven't talked to anyone from the county yet. I've got a dialogue going with a staff of the city of Arcadia to explore, can we do something with the county where we say, okay, we'll work with you and we'll work on helping you with the education, outreach aspects of this. You let us build a building over in the corner of the park. Does that make sense? Go to the Google Maps. Now, while Tony and I want a building up in Arcadia close to Foothill, Director Santana can walk to Peck Park.
Right. My kids are there all the time.
And then, Christy, can you try and zoom in on the map? Okay, so tell you what, I'll use my laser pointer. In case you're not familiar with the location, so again, we're up here. Our office is up in this area. Zoom out a little bit. There you go, right there. So we're up here, Monrovia, and Myrtle Avenue comes down Peck Road, and then this is Peck Park, Peck Road Park, right here. This is the very southern tip of Arcadia. It's a little farther away from the 210 freeway, about a 5-minute drive up Myrtle here. It's actually fairly close to the 605 freeway, so it does meet those parameters. And so that's another option that we can explore. And I think it's certainly worth getting a dialogue with the county. Does that work for us? So I think with all of that, that's all I wanted to present to the board. And then I want feedback. We're not making any final decisions clearly today. But some guidance from the board, discussion. What do you like? What do you not like? What do you think we forgot about? So that we can continue to move forward with this process.
Okay, well, thank you. Board, the general manager gave us some parameters. There were some goods and some bads that we were looking at. Right now, I guess we're just looking for a conceptual thought or some ideas and not so much details of where the bathroom should be and whose office, who gets what office at this time. But at least the geographic area, yeah. Size, price range, I think at least we could focus on that. And Dr. Pello?
I think we, in our talks with city managers, we should talk to them about what we're trying to do. Last night I was with the city council of Arcadia. There's going to be a lot of activity at the Santa Anita racetrack. They're going to be doing a lot of building in that area. And
bulldozing.
And even first... First Street in Arcadia, so that's in the, they have good property values there. But there's going to be a lot of interesting things going on in Arcadia with the new hotel across the street.
Okay. Any other thoughts or guidelines?
Thank you, Mr. President. I've also talked to our general manager a couple months ago in area locations such as Irwindale, the former bank, Foothill Bank, right in the corner of Irwindale Avenue and Arrow Highway. It's up for sale. And that cheaper than the price here. Also, the city that I talked to, the planner at the city of Irwindale, they also have lots that will build to suit for sale as well. Because of the old rock church and the Catholic church right next to it, they own the land, they started to demolish. I asked them questions and they said, well, how many square foot? I go, you know what? I have no idea. But they're ready to build, and you can purchase, or you can purchase the lot, or they will build to suit. And there's also another one in West Covina also available, and I'm sure each and every one can find one or two locations in your own different districts. And I think, as we know, and real estate is location, location, location. So no offense to the people that live in certain very expensive areas such as South Pasadena, Arcadia, your square footage, that's why I asked how much it is, and probably be twice as much as the dirt per square foot than other areas. So I think that's something that we need to take heavy consideration. I like the numbers that were given. How funny that in 20 years we're going to be spending over $4 million. Yet we had the building already available to us. We could have made the improvements, and the building that you saw, the sign that they're going to be doing, is right exactly next door to where we have our building. The building that we had before is up for sale too. It may not be a bad mistake to turn around and look at it and buy it at a loss, because we paid, what, $1.7, $1.8 million that we got for it. To buy it back is going to be $2.5 million or possibly $3 million. But with an additional $1 million or $2 million, we can build it to the design that we had established back many, many years ago. And it's directly in the middle of the entire upper district boundary. So it won't hurt us to look back and say, if we want to, we made a mistake, we found, and it's okay to make mistakes, but we learn from them. So to me, there's a lot of other places besides the ones mentioned, and it's also very, very close to freeways, very close to restaurants, very close to everything that you need. The building right next door, the cemetery block, we're right adjacent to that. To turn around and buy a property for $4, $5, $6 million, yet we sold right next door for 1.7 or 8. Let's really wake up. And if we made a mistake, let's accept it. Let's move in and inquire in those as well. Thank you.
Talking about property values, and yes, there's, I mean, our district is pretty diverse, where we have some high-end and probably lower-end economic areas. But I the mistake I don't want to do is what my colleague did. He bought property in Bakersfield. He bought 5 houses that he still owns. And he bought it because it's dirt cheap. And he bought it at this price. The market crashed. And then it's back at that level. He said after 10, 15 years of owning it, if he sold everything with all the work, everything you put in it, he would be lucky to break even. He said that had he thought about it, or if had he known, he would have bought one house in a nice area and doubled his money after 10, 15 years. So while the price looks good today, in 10, 15 years, I want that price to look even better. So with that.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not even going to conjecture about moving to South Pasadena, but that ain't going to happen.
Why?
But I think, personally speaking, you know, I would like for us to build have a building, whether we buy it or build it, that's going to serve us well for the next 30 to 40 years. We need to make that kind of commitment to the community. The other thing, too, that I think is going to be extremely important is that the building that we build or buy is conducive to the community. I want to open it up to the community so they can come and have their meetings there. I want to make it available to if our local assembly person, senator wants to have a meeting there, bring a group of people there, or our supervisor wants to have a meeting. I think that that's something that we, as a governmental agency, a regional agency, really want to offer the community. Mm-hmm. So those are the two things that I think are important to me, along with the other things into the parking and the access, and also that the employees have amenities, place to go eat, place to walk around. But I see ourselves as a community organization, an organization that should be made available to the community to come in and have their meetings here. And also maybe an opportunity for another governmental agency to lease property from us. So given all that, that's my view for the future on a building.
Yeah,
thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah, we definitely have to make sure that this project checks our boxes.
I enjoyed this presentation, and thank you, Jack, also. As mentioned, I do live right down the road from Peck Park. It would be a bigger commute for me, though, if we were to hold our board meetings in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So that's not something that I'm, you know, thinking as a benefit necessarily. But Peck Park, the area, I've lived there for 8 years, and I have noticed a change in the area, and I do see that as something that's improving. I know there's a property line there, so I'm not sure what that's going to entail as far as price. But it is an area that's still relatively affordable and up and coming, I would say. We've noticed it has improved. So I think that's a really good option. Plus, you have all of your, as you mentioned, all of the park there that we can use as our demonstration. I do like, Al, you had a great idea about putting those in areas where there's more foot traffic. But I really think that's an area that we could explore, and I'd like to see if we can make that work, because it's not too built up, it's not too price-wise, maybe it could work for us.
All right, any other thoughts or concepts? Yes.
When Director Rodrigo commented about looking at another public agency, I didn't talk about that, but it's we haven't dropped that as an idea, and it's a serious consideration. I don't think it's any surprise. I have talked to Ken Manning. Water Quality Authority's lease is up in about 2 years, 2.5 years. And Ken is interested in continuing the dialogue with us about a joint facility.
I know Citrus College is interested in maybe having a class in our facility, offering classes on the water technology thing. So it's something to think about for the
future. What about Water Master?
I'll tell you what.
Our lease is so ironclad and so inexpensive that every couple of years we've looked at things and now that the gold mine station is right there for us to go to Met, But the only thing I wanted to add, as you think about it, because Charles, you brought up a good point about evening meetings and such. And I'm not talking about general area, but accessibility and visibility of the facility for me and for our staff and their safety. Some of us work late. Some of us may be with consultants late. I know you guys stay late. You want to consider that it's not so remote that if somebody does, you don't want to hire a security guard, and you don't want to have to worry about your employees or anybody staying late. So, for instance, if you have the COG, they use it for the evening.
Right.
You don't want to incur any issues where folks. So a lot of these industrial parks are maybe cheaper, but you kind of go back behind this to do that. So that's the consideration, for our staff. And I appreciate. What you're saying, we just lucked out when they built that building they gave us, and it's an ironclad. I think Azusa would vote for us to go with you too, to be honest, just because they could use the space. But it's right now it's a real beneficial.
Yeah, that's another thing. You're right, Tony, having a remote, not remote, but location that public the liability issues. You know, if something were to happen to a guest or one of the people that come there for a meeting, that's something to consider. You're right.
I mean, some of those industrial parks are so big, they're kind of like big canyons, you know, and if there's maybe only two tenants that are there in the evening, we see it on Fridays. That's why we have a different security protocol on Friday, because it's great when the city's there during the week, but then, and we're on those main streets, so we really don't get hassled. I mean, we touch wood, we never have, but I just, you know, I worry about our, like, I make sure that nobody stays by themselves and all that,
right.
So you kind of compound it if you're a little more remote.
I've added safety and security to the list of considerations.
Okay.
I think Jack had a comment, too.
Just one comment, you know, it depends where the location of our property is. You know, the early discussion about the landscape demonstration garden or not, that's something to be decided later. But one thing you should be aware of is that the city have a different ratio for the structure and the open space. So, you know, one thing that when they first show the staff that how come so big, because I don't know where you're going to be, because I need a setback, right? And we, you know, you have a setback. When you do a setback,
that's a good point.
You know, 15 foot from the property line, what do we do with it? Right? That's the something. And they also build the structure and the property ratio. So you cannot, in other words, we cannot just say, okay, we need, you know, 15,000 square foot mm-hmm. building, we'll buy 15,000 square foot. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
So if sometimes it just that happens, so maybe you have only a few area around the perimeter, that's why we set up our exam. You don't have to be.
You're talking about building though, right?
Right, building and also, you know, the property.
Construction.
Open area around the structure.
Yeah.
So there's a curfew requirement.
Right.
That we need to have something.
Right.
So that's all.
We have a question from staff. Robert?
Yeah, thank you. Getting back to the earlier part, obviously location, that's a big piece of the puzzle. And,
mm-hmm.
and Jack and I had a lot of talk about setbacks and all that. But if we could, out of this workshop, one of the goals we had to wrap up Jack's initial work, the architect's concept work, is general thoughts or endorsement of the workflow, the lobby going into the boardroom, the segregation of staff, is there endorsement of that concept? Because as Jack's work phases to an end, and then we overlay the property site chosen, but are the design features, the idea of the public coming in, a waiting area, a multi-purpose boardroom, those are kind of the key endorsement or suggestions that we need as we package this to whatever site gets chosen in the future. So if you don't mind, I'd like to go back to those concepts, and are we on target with what you all were thinking and would like to see? If Chris, I don't know if we can again, but maybe that site layout. And I'm talking about how you come into a lobby, go into the boardroom,
yes.
Staff is behind, and so forth. Does that make sense to you all?
I actually like that, because there are a lot of movers and shakers that come to those meetings. And even though the meeting may be over, people still stay in the lobby to change cards, to make a lunch date or appointments, and so that makes sense. Everybody's always lingering around after these meetings. And then for us here, there's nowhere to linger around other than inside people's cubicles.
And that does happen.
Yeah, it's kind of impersonal. Yeah.
And if I just add one more thing, because I probably should be negligent if I forgot to include this. One of the properties I have am in discussions on is owned by the city of Guardi. It's only an acre. They are certainly interested in partnering because they need space for their public safety employees.
Mm-hmm.
If it's only an acre, and based on Jack's analysis, in order to get, and then we could possibly share parking with the school district and city hall, we'd probably have to go vertical, a couple of stories to get the space. But it's, I'm continuing the dialogue with Gerald George.
Okay, so with that, okay.
Thank you. I have to take off.
Yes. So with that, I think we gave enough information to the general manager to as far as parameters of what to look out, and then he'll follow up with us as we shrink down the search. Okay.
So thank you. And then we will go to item number 9. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So let's go to item number 9, informational items. Press releases and newspaper articles are in our packets, and you may read that at your leisure. We've got item number 10, which is our attorney's report. And welcome, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple of things to report. The Long Beach judgment matter, the refiling of the stipulation for WRD to come in to substitute in as plaintiff has been filed, no one anticipates any problems because it's all been, all the T's that we were expected to cross have been crossed. I also was asked to look at a recent Attorney General opinion concerning director compensation. It was a question that was posed to the Attorney General in 2016, and only this month was it answered. And the bottom line is that the question presented was whether a retirement plan, employer-contributed retirement plan for elected directors, whether that ran afoul of the per diem statutes in the Water Code. And the short answer is no, it doesn't. They're apples and oranges. This Attorney General, I'd start by saying that Attorney General opinions are not binding, but they're persuasive. And if there is no case law on it, it's very persuasive. It's not binding per se. The Attorney General concluded that those per diem statutes were simply so that a district can set per diem and then increase per diems without having to go back to the legislature to do it at that level. And so, in fact, there's no conflict between the per diem statutes and the pension plan.
So we are in compliance.
You are in compliance, yes.
All right. Anything else from your report? Any questions on the Attorney General's report? Attorney General. Promoted you. Okay, and we'll go to number 11, the engineer's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've got some water stuff to report on. Director Contreras did ask, said he was going to ask a question, which is not directly water related, so maybe we'll want to do that first. To get that one.
Whatever, however, I can.
That's fine with me, because there's also an article here that we probably ought to just cover real quick, too, but let's do it with water. But I know there's an article.
Let's cover Director Contreras' question under director's comments. Is that okay?
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay. Water supply. Keywell, the most recent Keywell elevation we've got was, that I'm reporting on, was back on April 12th. I think we have a little more recent because I talked to Kelly just yesterday. But on the 12th, it was 194.0. So we're starting to approach that 200 mark, the bottom elevation we have for operating criteria for the basin, the 200 to 250. So that's good. It's actually rose almost 2 feet in a week. We had a period where it was going up about over 3 feet in a week, but it's slowed down a little bit now. So things are looking better. Recalling historic low was 169, and which is back in late November of last year. So come up quite a bit during that period of time. And I'm going to give you a breakdown on the water that has been spread since summertime last year and what we think we've still got left to spread for the rest of the year. So we've got some rainfall stuff. I'm going to give you some rainfall information. I'm not going to give you the last 7 days. I've been giving you the last 7 days, but we haven't had a lot of rain, so it's not really worth that. Long-term average normal for these stations. I'm going to give you Cogswell Dam at 30. We give this every time. It doesn't really, well, it changes a little bit as the year goes on because it's normal through this period. So Cogswell Dam, 34.2. And to date this year, we've got almost 41. So we're doing well there. San Gabriel Dam, long-term average to this date is almost 29. And we're at almost 31. And Puddystone Dam, long-term average is 19.2. And we're at a little over 22. So everything looks good as far as rainfall. We're doing well. On runoff and replenishment, we've reported in the past, in general, over the long period of time, long-term average, we get about 110,000 acre-feet of local water replenishment to the basin. And it's looking like we're going to make that this year. And just to get you an update on those numbers, from July 1st, which is kind of when we started our record keeping back in 2018, through the 31st of March, this is before April, I'm going to give you the types of water that were spread and the quantities. Water put into cyclic storage, as the cyclic storage delivers, was almost 29,000 acre feet, 29,000. RDA2 water, almost 19,000, 18.9. And replacement water, almost 7,000, 6,800. So total imported water, about 54,000, almost 54,500, 600 acre feet. That's imported water. Local water, about 56,000 acre feet. That's through March 31st. So total water, about 110,000. But remember, that includes about 54,000 of imported water. Additional water spread from April 1st to June 30th. I'm going to give you what we expect to conserve going forward, not counting what's happened since the 31st. We're looking at about another 60,000 acre feet. There's about 50,000 acre feet in storage right now that will be spread. Inflow to San Gabriel has dropped off now to about 250 CFS inflow, which is about 500 acre feet a day, but obviously we expect that to slow down. Imported water coming in between now and June 30. This is without a new deal with MWD, because we are MWD got a very large, so far we've got a very large table entitlement. It's at 70%. We think it might even go higher. So MWD will be looking to spread some more water above all of this. But for what we have right now, San Gabriel District is looking to spread the rest of their allocation at 70%. So it's almost 17,000 acre feet. Three Valleys is has a request for 5,000 acre feet, so that's total about 22,000 acre feet. So with the local water of 60,000 acre feet, we're looking at almost 82,000 acre feet between now and summertime, basically the end of our spreading period, without a new MWD agreement. So total water spread that we're fairly confident on is almost 200,000 acre feet this year, so quite a bit of water. And as we said, the key well has come up now into the 190, right into the 194, 195 range. Looking forward at the key well, this is a little bit updated. We did give a report on the preliminary operating safe yield at Watermaster just 2 weeks ago. Was it last week? Two weeks ago. And this is we're making these general projections even after that. At this time, we're looking at the key well probably landing somewhere between 200 and 210 feet. So we think it's going to go past the 200 mark. How much it goes past, not real clear right now. They're looking like we're going to have, and you have an article that I'll talk about in just a minute. But besides that, it looks like we may have a little bit of a delay of the deliveries as a result of the Committee of Nine wanting to repair their diversion structure. I don't think it's going to change the total amount of water delivered, but it'll be a short delay while in May where they shut water off to do that, to do their fix their diversion structure. It actually has some good components to it, because by shutting off deliveries to Santa Fe, it allows Santa Fe to recover a little bit. When you dry these basins out a little bit, when you put water back in them, they perk a lot faster, at least for a short amount of time, and then they sort of reach equilibrium. We've been delivering so much water to the Santa Fe spreader grounds, we're kind of at an equilibrium right now. They're still spreading, we're still replenishing a lot of water. But when you dry them out, that's good, because it clears things up. And then when we put water back in, it really takes a lot of water. So they'll be down about 10 days to 2 weeks.
And even though we shut off the spreading operations for a period of time, we don't lose any of that water.
We shouldn't lose any of that water.
Still behind the canyon down.
That's right. We shouldn't lose any of that water. Still behind the canyon. We'll build it up. We have the storage. We'll spread that local water. From an MWD standpoint, actually Kevin and I were arguing back and forth this morning, because I said, don't let it shut down. We would need the water. He's convinced that with the conditions we have in the State Water Project this year, MWD will be able to deliver all the water that they want to deliver to us this summer. And if they deliver it into cyclic storage, I think Tom has reported to you before, when they deliver it into cyclic storage, they can deliver it any time. Even in the summer during their capacity rate, they can deliver it any time. We don't get charged a capacity fee for that. So he's convinced that there's not a problem. Told him that I'm going to hold him accountable for that if we lose any water as a result. I'm not in favor of necessarily letting Committee of Nine get in there and fix this thing, but we're going to argue about that. We're going to talk to Tony Kelly about that. But anyway, so that's what's going on. The other thing, we did have an article in front of you, which Kevin put as part of my package. He said there's an emergency shutdown yesterday. He left. He's never told me about it. I just put it in my package. So I'm reading it, and then I get here, and I find out that there's an article in front of you guys about a car that went over the cliff. Damn. So I guess everything got shut down yesterday. Both USG3 and Morris Dam got shut down, where they had to retrieve this guy's car and
him and get him out of the river. I guess he didn't do well. So, are you okay with that shutdown? Well, you know, it's like a traffic accident. When you're looking for it, you say, "Can you get that stuff out of the way? We want to drive it." It's like, "Can you get that out of the way? We got water delivery here." So yeah, I'm not sure what happened, but I'm not even sure they've got the car out yet. Do we even know if they got the car out?
I don't think it's back on.
So I don't think the car is out yet. It was like under 17 feet of water when they went down there, but we shut down.
It'll start back up at 8 o'clock tomorrow.
Oh, is that the plan? Yeah. Okay, so good. I haven't got the list. So anyway, so we have a little shutdown right now because of this accident. But I think that's it. We still have about 160,000 acre feet, 165,000 acre feet in cycling storage. A lot of water. I did give the report of Water Master and Operating Safe Yield. I didn't give it, not very detailed, just current conditions. Not much has really changed. Not much has really changed on my recommendation. The recommendation right now, and it's preliminary, is to continue at 150,000 acre feet. I talked about the option a little bit about maybe going, people talk about maybe going higher because we're having a wet year. Not in favor of that. There is some discussion about going a little lower, and I wouldn't be opposed to going a little bit lower, but certainly no higher than 150 until we get the basin back into a healthy operating condition. So that's all I have.
Any questions to our engineer?
Just a brief one.
Yes.
Are we anticipating more rainwater to build up as well as snow melt?
Yes. We're still getting inflow right now at about 250 CFS. So it's going to slow down as it warms up and you know, we don't have any more rainfall. So it's going to slow down, but we're still getting almost 500 acre feet a day into our spreading grounds. I mean, into our storage. So that's good.
Looks good. Okay, we'll go to item number 12, which is our general manager's report.
Well, my first item, my first note says USG3 flows temporarily suspended for auto accidents.
Sorry.
covered that. Well, we are near the end of our delivery of 5,000 acre feet.
Yes.
In order to CalDomestic, I think CalDomestic ordered 5,000 acre feet. We started that a week ago, about a 9-day delivery. So we'll turn it back on tomorrow morning and finish that delivery. Three Valleys has requested, it's not official yet, they've requested to use USD3 to deliver their 5,000 acre feet. So we'll coordinate that. And the intent is to get all of the imported water deliveries that we're purchasing in the ground before May 1st. After May 1st, we would incur the capacity charge. Right. However, as Steve mentioned, we're also talking to MWD and Water Master will consider, Tony will have this on the agenda for the Water Master Board meeting. Entering into a new cyclic storage agreement or an amended cyclic storage agreement where Met will put more water in cyclic storage and there will be a new 5-year payment plan on that water. And so the potential to get a lot more water in the ground. I wanted to ask Steve on where you think the basin level will get to by midsummer. Is there an over-under and where can we place the bet?
That's funny because I asked Kevin that this morning and he got all flustered, not knowing what to say. And so. But I think it might be
not Kevin.
Yeah, well, I was beating him up. I told Kevin this morning when I got done talking because Jenny was in there too, and I told Kevin I got done talking because he kept defending CIC needing to get in there and fix this connection. I said, Kevin, if I lose any water this year, I'm going to call you CIC Kevin. I'm going to buy your shirt. You're going to wear it for a week that says you're CIC Kevin because I'm not in favor of letting them fix this. We need water. So anyway, yeah, I did beat him up this morning. The guess is somewhere between 200 and 210. So I can have Kevin send something out and let people make their guesses.
Because
we know it's going to go up and it's going to come down. We know that.
All kidding aside, so with this MWD pre-purchase and the safe yield recommendation at 150,000 acre feet, we're incorporating that into our budget. And it has a significant impact, positive impact on our budget, because we're going to... If they go through with this, we are going to sell a lot of water. I think all the board members here know that historically there's been years where we'll sell 30 plus thousand acre feet, and the next year it might be 15,000 acre feet. And then the following year will be 35,000 acre feet, and then it'll be right back down. For the recent years, and the trend just started last year and continues in this current fiscal year, that is more steady and it is projected to be significant. I mean, it going up as the RDA assessment increases. It really helps stabilize our revenue projections, and since water sales are the biggest part of our budget, it substantially stabilizes that. So that's positive, and we appreciate the checks you send every month. But it's important, and as Water Master has pulled up on the RDA. From a water supply standpoint, having that, and it's not just for us, it's also for the producers, for the producers to be able to predict how much they're going to have to buy and what are they going to have to pay for that water. When they go through Prop 218 rate process, they don't want to be guessing every year at what that's going to be. If they can have some predictability and certainty to those numbers, it's tremendously helpful in their Prop 218 processes. So that's all I have.
Good. Any questions for our general manager? If not, then we'll go to item number 13, which is director's comments. We'll start with, go in reverse order, Vice President.
Thank you. I attended the council meeting on Monday because the original schedule of Irwindale council meeting was planned for Wednesday. However, Mr. Brasita, or Councilman Brasita's brother passed away and they had funeral services for his younger brother, Robert Brasita. He was a former police captain in the city of Irwindale. He passed away, my understanding is complications of diabetes. So he passed away, they had that meeting. So therefore the meeting was held. On public comments, it was a very interesting topic that was discussed, and I didn't give you the article because I need it back. Mm-hmm. I was asked to also question what we're doing because based on the county, they're doing some cleanup in the La Quinada, Prince Rich, Pasadena area.
Yep.
And the supervisor asked them to stop spreading or dumping additional because they found that they were using Roundup. Mm-hmm. Roundup has been said and it's been proven that it's has some cancer-causing chemicals. And so they stopped using it over there. But the sledge and everything else has been, I won't say proven, but it's been stated that they are moving this spreading into the spreading grounds in Irwindale landfills. And they want that to be stopped because of the potential damage that can cause to our landfills as well as to the health of other people. So the article was written by Steve Scacillo.
Yep.
And I just maybe want, you know, because how you do the inspection of the landfills and all that stuff, maybe you can look into that,
yep,
give us a report, and maybe if it's happening, maybe we can do something to force us, you know, to force them to also stop moving that sludge or whatever you want to call it, moving into the Irwindale landfills, because that's what happened to us back in the 1960s, and we don't know when it may hit or if it does any damage at all. Thank you. That's all I have. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Director Trevino?
I have nothing, sir.
Dr. Fell?
Yes, sir. I was just happy last night to see my neighbor, April Verlato, become the mayor of Arcadia. First time in 28 years, a woman has become mayor, and so we had a big party for her. And
wow, that's neat.
It was very nice. She's a very big supporter of Upper District and did my oath of office, as you know, this year. That was good.
Good, good. Well, on a sad note, I wanted to report that former Councilman Mike Spence passed away.
Yeah.
I had a pretty good relationship with him. He, although we're from opposite political parties, he knew how to get things done. It's a sad way of going, but I knew that he was struggling, and it was sad to know that he did eventually come to some demons that many people fight each and every day. So with that, I'd like to adjourn the meeting under in recognition of his great work in West Covina. Also, we have the, on a lighter note, we have, we have some ballots. Yeah, I was looking for a blue ballot. We have some ballots. If you could help us with, if you notice behind us, we have our contest from schools throughout our service district, and they're from all the way from kindergarten to 12th graders. They're broken into those categories, and if you could help us out choose the best ones in each category, we have
ballots that if you could help participate and select your favorite, and hopefully those are the ones that will be chosen by the our district and the Southern California Metropolitan Water District. And hopefully one of those will be on one of our calendars or t-shirts as well. And we'll recognize those people individually. But we want to see if you guys could pick out the top three winners for us. With that, anything else? No further business. We are adjourned. Thank you.